Welcome to the Bufab Quarter 2 2023 earnings call. My name is Caroline, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note this call is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen-only mode. However, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your questions. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero, and you'll be connected to an operator. I will now hand over the call to your host, Mr. Erik Lundén, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Erik Lundén, and I'm President and CEO of Bufab Group. Together with me here today, I have Fredrik Neely, acting CFO. Warm welcome to this Q2 2023 earnings call. I will start with a short summary of the quarter, and then I will leave the word to Fredrik for some financial highlights. At the end, I will take over, go through the segments, short summary, and then at the end, we'll have time for Q&A. If we start on page three and a short summary of the quarter, we had a good and stable development in the quarter, and we delivered a strong operating result and a strong cash flow. Looking at the top line, it was up 2%, driven by currency. Looking at the organic growth, it was down 5%. Here we should have in mind that we're up against a very strong comparative quarter. What we also see is that it's continued weak demand in two segments, namely East and North America, and this is driven by a few industries that were favorable during the pandemic that's now struggling with lower demand. Looking at the segment risks, they continue to have a very strong development in the quarter. Order intake was in line with the net sales for the quarter. If we then go down and look at the EBITDA, we had a strong improvement in EBITDA, and we are pleased with the margin that we performed in the quarter. Our gross margin was somewhat lower than previous quarter, but due to less favorable business mix, operating expenses in line with the comparison quarter, and looking then at the improvement in EBITDA, it was 37%, and this is corresponding to a margin of 14.0%. If we adjust for items affecting comparability, the operating margin was 13.5% in the quarter. If we look at the cash flow, as previously informed, we have been working hard to get our cash flow moving, and it worked out very well in this quarter as well. A strong operating cash flow amounted to 488 million, and that corresponds to a cash conversion of 147%. We expect the strong cash flow to continue in the coming quarters as well. That was a short summary, and I will now leave the word over to Fredrik for some financial highlights. Please, Fredrik.
Thank you, Erik. As Erik mentioned, we'll look through some financial highlights in slightly more detailed fashion. If we start with net sales, as Erik already mentioned there previously, it was up 2%. This is driven totally by currency. As we're all aware, our functional currency is the Swedish krona, which has taken a beating in the last month, and of course, this gives an effect in the quarter. Our organic growth was lower, as Erik also has mentioned, and I want to bring it up again that we have a very strong comparison quarter to compare to, which makes it tougher to perform against that good quarter that we had in Q2 2022. Operating expenses, as Erik has already been in line, adjusted for our earn-out revaluations, and it had a switch effect during the quarters, meaning that for this quarter, we had a positive impact when we revalued them, and in the last quarter, in Q2, we had a negative impact. Positive and a negative gives quite a large movement there. Adjusted for these, the operating expenses were 14.9% versus 14.8%, so almost perfectly in line. Operating result is, of course, affected by this as it drops down. In the same manner, when we revalue those earn-out considerations and adjusting for those, we had 13.5% for the quarter compared to the very strong quarter last year at 14%. A decrease, of course, on the face value, but of course, very, very strong EBITDA considering the market situation. If we continue on to slide number six, which should be some graphs. The first graph here on the left shows our net sales in growth in terms of total growth, which is the gray portion of the columns, and our organic growth, which would be the blue portion of those columns. And as you can see, in quarter two for 2023, the final column there all the way to the right, we had a total growth, which is grown, and as you see the blue, we have a negative organic growth. But as I previously mentioned, and it bears to be mentioned again, our quarter two in 2022, if you look at that column, it was off the charts fantastically good. So it's, as I said previously, a very tough quarter in comparison. The graph on the right there shows our net sales, which would be the blue trend line, and our EBITDA, which is the gray trend line, in, of course, in terms of a 12-month rolling trend. In this trend, if we are, or in this graph, we are more mindful of the trend in the way, in the direction these lines are moving. And as you can see, the gray line is as we want. It's diverging from the blue line, which would, of course, imply that we're conducting our business better in terms of productivity and efficiency. If we go on to slide 7, cash flow and net debt EBITDA graph, where the graph on the left shows the relation of our EBITDA adjusted, which is the blue columns, in relation to our operating cash flow, which would be the gray trend line. And then the parity between them signifies the cash, our cash conversion. As you may know, that in a perfect world, the operational cash flow line there would intersect at the top of each column, which would indicate that we have a perfect 100% cash conversion cycle. But, of course, we don't live in a perfect world, and therefore you have variances that that line is not super straight. But as you can see, we've had tremendous development in our cash flow, very strong, and we're above, way above the perfect 100%, actually it's 100, above 140%. And this, of course, is following our focus on renormalizing and optimization of our net working capital, and in particular for us, Bufab is inventory. And we should see this going forward, that we will have a further strengthening of the cash flow in the coming quarters. The graph on the right is a ratio that shows the ratio that measures the leverage. And as you can see in our quarter 2023, our leverage is slightly up due to payouts of earnouts during the quarter. However, we still had quite a good cash flow in the quarter that we were able to amortize a sizable portion on loans. And then on slide 8, we have a very summarized and condensed bridge showing EBITDA from our starting point in Q2 22 and then ending up in Q2 2023 based on our segments, showing the segment movement during this quarter. North, West and East, they're up and down, but the big star here, of course, is UK and North America, which have continuously shown that they know how to conduct business over there and doing a very good job in a slightly demanding market, both in the UK and North America. And I turn the word back over to you, Erik.
Thank you. A few words then about M&A on slide 9. As you know, part of our growth strategy is to continue acquire companies and be a consolidator in a very fragmented market. And of course, also a big focus right now for us to ensure that we take care of the companies that we acquired in the recent years. And I would like to mention a few words about that work that is ongoing in terms of integration. As we speak right now, we have been integrating Bufab Denmark into Pari-Bolte, and Pari-Bolte was a company we acquired in 2022, and that work is ongoing and going very well, and we've seen also good development in Pari-U and actually in the whole region after the acquisition of Pari-U. And this is a part of our strategy to ensure that we find synergies between the companies when we acquire them. We did a similar thing back in 2016 and a few years later after that when we acquired Plost in Netherlands and integrated our Bufab Benelux business into Plost, and now that is also continuing performing very well, including in this quarter. So the work is ongoing to ensure that the companies in the and the Bufab Group continue growing, hopefully quicker than with higher speed than in the past within the Bufab Group. Looking at the pipeline ahead, we are continuing looking at the acquisition targets for the future and also try to prepare ourselves from a balance sheet point of view to be able to continue to acquire companies in the near future. If we then turn to the segment highlights and start with page 11, segment North, and a few words about each segment. Starting then with segment North, here the total growth amounted to 1%. Organic growth was declined by 3%, and this is driven by the furniture and kitchen industry that are slowing down after really strong momentum in 2021 and 2022. Slight decrease in gross margin due to the business mix. Operating expenses held stable in the quarter, and our operating profit and margin decreased, driven by the same reason as I mentioned before, the furniture and kitchen industry that is holding back the improvement in the numbers there. West continues to have a very strong development. Total growth amounted to 14% in the quarter, 4% organic, and still strong underlying demand in the segment. And we're also taking market share in Western Europe, doing a good job. Netherlands, Floss is doing very well and keep improving, and they are an engine for the segment. And also France has performed well in the quarter. So overall, good momentum in segment West. Gross margin stable in the segment, and the operating profit and margin increased, and we have lower share of expenses. And we continue to have good cost control and operational leverage in the segment. Go over to East, total growth 3%, driven by acquisitions to a certain extent, and then also currency, but organic growth down 6%. As already pointed out, we're up against very strong, all-time high comparative figures for the group Q2 2022. But we also see a few industries in segment Eastern that are struggling, and those are the ones once again that had a favorable development throughout the pandemic, both in Eastern Europe but also in Asia. Somewhat decreasing gross margin, and then the operating profit and operating margin also decreased a little bit, driven by the outdoor and healthcare industry. And then finally, if you look at the different segments, UK, North America, declining total growth 4%, organic growth also declined 11%. And once again, very strong comparative figures. Those companies here were booming during the pandemic and now have a lower demand. And these are companies in UK, stainless, and then also the RV industry in US. But looking at the gross margin is positive, was higher than previous quarter, and also lower operating expenses. And if looking at the overall result, operating result and operating margin improved in the quarter. And the companies in this part of the company doing extremely well to managing the cost level and keeping up the margin despite a much lower demand. So really good to see that. And then I added one slide here to share a little bit about the value creation that we give our customers in Bufab, and that always is or developing every day, and how we actually give the peace of mind to our customers. And I will start with one award that we got in the quarter. This is a receipt that we're doing things right for our customers, and that was a quality award that we got from Schneider Electric. And among 13,000 suppliers in Europe, we were selected for the one that had the best quality delivered to Schneider Electric Europe over the last 2 years. And I think it's a good example of the diversity that we bring, not only consolidation and giving a total cost of, lower total cost of ownership for the companies that we provide our services, but also quality is a big part of the service we provide. Another area that is increasing in interest for our customers is our sustainability offering that we provide. As you all know, we are continuing to integrate sustainability throughout our operations, and it's a very important area for us also going forward and of course for our customers. What we see now is that more and more customers are placing higher demands on sustainability and asking much more questions how we can support them on their sustainability improvement journey. We are, I would say, industry leader when it comes to sustainability, and we foresee and also experience now an increased business opportunity for us when it comes to take market share because our strong offering in sustainability. What we do is that we strengthen our customer supply chain through our sustainable supply engagement program that we have, so we can help our customers with their carbon footprint and also reduction of the greenhouse gases and how their suppliers are actually performing. This is something that we'll continue supporting our customers with also in the coming quarters. If we then go to summary of the quarter, a few words about that. So as I said, I'm pleased with the quarter, a solid development, very pleased with the strong operating profit that we delivered in the quarter and of course also the cash flow. Sales growth, 2% up, but driven by currency effects, organically down, but we're up against a very strong comparative quarter. And as previously mentioned, there is a mixed bag here. We see lower demand in some favorable business during the pandemic, and others are keeping up extremely well. So it's a mixed bag in terms of demand right now. Strong EBITDA margin, as already mentioned, of 14.3%, and really good cash flow in the quarter. Given the outlook, it's a similar situation as you've seen now for in Q1 as well. There are still uncertainty in the market. It is caution noted among customers in certain industry segments. As I mentioned already, we talked about the ones that have been very favorable during the pandemic, and others are keeping up very well. But all in all, we have a very large and well-diversified customer and a typical portfolio and a good diversification in risk to various industries and markets. So I'm optimistic for the future. And if we now look at our short-term priorities, they remain the same. We set those in Q3 last year, and those still are very valid, and we continue to deliver on those priorities. And that is now to take advantage of the market situation and continuing to take market shares and be active in the market. Our offering suits very well when customers have cost pressure and want to reduce their number of C-part suppliers, but also, as I mentioned before, take care of other issues like sustainability and other things that are flexing right now in their reality as a big challenge. Continue protecting margins. I'm pleased in how we well managed the inflation in the quarter and accepting the cost pressure. We continue doing so also in the future. That's the plan. And of course, continue improving our cash flow and to gradually reducing our debt level. And then finally, before I leave over the word here for a Q&A session, I have on slide 16 two other updates. The first one I've already announced in a press release, and that is that we will have a new CFO joining in mid-August. Per Ischog, that have experience from SQF and a CEO from Ambulance Group, who will join in mid-August. And of course, thanks also to Frederick for being acting in the meantime for Per joining us in mid-August. And then secondly, just for your information, we will have a Capital Markets Day that will take place in Q4 2023. For more information about our Capital Markets Day, will come in August, including date, venue, and agenda details will be shared then in August after the European summer holiday. That was it for today. Now I will gladly go over the word now for a Q&A session, so please.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Kindly introduce yourself followed by your question. Your line is open now.
Hello, this is Johan from DNB. So you mentioned some segments are performing well and pandemic winners are performing worse. Are there any segments in between that are kind of flattish or slightly declining, and which are these, would you say?
Yes, you can say that there are also some in between. If you take, for example, construction, you can say in all if you look at that segment, it is in between. We have a few, you can say, under segments in construction that are doing tougher right now, with, for example, new buildings and so on, but others are keeping up well. So all in all, construction is, you can say, flattish in development. So that is one industry I can mention. For example, but of course we have industries that are in between, and also electric in the industrial engineering is also, you can say, something in between the ones that are performing extremely well and the ones that are struggling right now. So there are a few in between, of course.
Okay, and that's interesting. And that's a quick follow-up. You mentioned that TI Networks saw construction recovery. It's a gradual improvement in the UK during Q2?
Yes, it is a gradual improvement in the quarter. So they have had a better demand in the quarter, grabbed a better demand, and also been managing internally well when it comes to the margin and also the cash flow. So a good development in the quarter for Tinko. And then, of course, in that segment is still uncertainty in the construction segment. So there's still uncertainty in the market, but good development in the quarter.
Okay, very good. And then a final question. I'm glad to see the cash flow continuing in a strong manner. So is it possible in broad terms to estimate like how long you would have left before you would be back, or when you aim to be back at normal inventory levels?
Yeah, and then it's a good question what it means with normal inventory levels as well, actually, because how we look at it from a cash flow point of view and also inventory point of view, we take this, you can say, in two steps. One is that we are doing right now, we're taking down our inventory from the high level that we had to have during the, you can say, pandemic and when the supply chain had big constraints. We're doing that, you can say, journey right now, and that is progressing very well. And then we have the second part, that is to actually gradually improve the way we're working with the inventory and how we manage our capital. And that will be ongoing for many quarters, so to say, and to gradually improve that, because we don't see the level that we had from before pandemic as the level we want to be. I think we can do more than that. So we see this in two stages. And then exactly what level that will be, that will, the market to big extent will decide, depending on the demand and also, of course, how we can improve internally, how we work with our efficiency and work internally between the companies to be efficient when it comes to the inventory. So I would say that is the answer to my question.
Yes, that answer fits very well. So thank you, and that was all for me for now.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. The next line is open now. Please introduce yourself and follow by your question. Thank you.
Hi, this is Robert from Carnegie.
Hey, Robert.
Good morning. Hi. Can I ask a question on this negative organic growth of 5% in the quarter for sales? Was there a trend throughout Q2, where April, May, June different, or were they opposite in the same?
Yeah, you asked about the trend there in the quarter. No, we can't say that was any specific trend in the quarter. It's more linked to the different industrial segments and how they are performing. So no specific trend in the quarter.
Okay, good. And on that again, I mean, on pricing, raw materials and freight costs are down. I guess salaries are up. But do you still have pricing was still a contributor to organic growth with volumes dropping more than the 5%?
Yes, the price is still a contributor, but it's getting less every day. As you know, we had the major price increases in 2021 and even more 2022, but those are becoming less impacted than on our numbers every day. That's how it looks like.
All right. And on those cash flows, I mean, I guess it's, yeah, it's a discussion. It depends a bit, but the working capital is, I mean, year to date, you've decreased inventories by, say, 400 million, and for 2022, you built 800 million of inventories. There's some reason why you can't release those, so could you release more? Or?
I hardly heard you now, but you asked me about if we get even better cash flow. What have you said?
Yeah, I mean, the inventory the decrease year to date is about 400 million, and 2022 was 800 million of added inventory. So can we release those 800 or more? How should we think about that?
Yeah, and that's my answer. That's a bit back to what I said to Johan in his question as well. We still have work to do with to still continue improving the inventory situation. So the answer is yes to that. And then how much that will be, that depends now both on the demand in the market in the coming quarters, but also how well actually we can manage to do this as well. So far, we are doing good. We're doing better than our plans that we set up in Q3 around this. So we are on the right track, or better than expected. And our aim is then to continue on this improvement also in the coming quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. It appears no further question at this time. I'll hand it back over to your host for closing remarks. Thank you.
Okay. Then thanks a lot, everyone, for joining. And I wish you a nice day ahead. Thank you.